Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm going to continue talking about the Bodhisattva ceremony and the meaning of the various parts. And today, we're going to talk about the refuges. So in the Bodhisattva ceremony, the text is, I take refuge in Buddha before all being, immersing body and mind deeply in the way, awakening true mind. The second line is, I take refuge in Dharma before all being, entering deeply the merciful ocean of Buddha's way. And the third line is, I take refuge in Sangha before all being, bringing harmony to everyone, free from hindrance. So if you recall from the ceremony, the Kokyo, the chanter, lead chanting, does, I take refuge in Buddha, and then the rest of us, while we're bowing, do the second part of it, before all being, immersing body and mind deeply in the way, awakening true mind, etc. So what does this all mean? I must admit there are lots of ideas about the refuges, so I'll just present the ones that spoke to me. The first thing I did is I looked up the meaning of refuge in English. So a refuge is, as you would expect, something, a person, a place that provides shelter from pursuit, danger, or trouble, or anything to which one has recourse for aid or an escape. And interestingly, the Latin word from which refuge comes is refugium. And refugium, the re in refugium means basically backward. So it doesn't mean again, to do something again. It means to go back. So, you know, literally, refugee, the refuge means are someone who is fleeing backward away from danger and suffering and pursuit. So in English, there is this connotation of fleeing suffering, maybe returning or to seek, to returning to or seeking happiness. So what about the Japanese? What's being translated here in English as refuge? So Dogen wrote a fascicle on this called Kie Sanbo, Taking Refuge in the Three Treasures. So I looked up the characters for Kie in the dictionary, and Kie in a modern Japanese dictionary means to have conversion or belief in something. So in this case, it would be a belief in the three treasures, which is what we call taking refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha. Dogen defines the refuges in this way, in this fascicle that he wrote, Kie Bukpo Sobo, Refuge in the Treasury of Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. He wrote, in the term Kie, to take refuge, Ki means Kito, to resort to and submit. E means Ebuku, to rely on and prostrate oneself. Therefore, he said, we say to take refuge. That is, it is a term for aid and rescue. Because the Buddha is a great teacher, we take refuge in him. Because the Dharma is good medicine, we take refuge in it. Because the Sangha are the best friends, we take refuge in them. So, Kie, to take refuge. Ki means Kito, to resort to and submit. And A means Ebaku, to rely on and prostrate oneself. And then he goes on and says, it's a term for aid and rescue. And he also says, the Buddha is a great teacher, or we could say in this metaphor, the Buddha is a great doctor. The Buddha, we take refuge in the Dharma, which is good medicine, and we take refuge in the Sangha, who are our best friends. So we're being asked to, in this, I think in this section that Dogen talks about, he's saying we have to have faith in the efficacy of these three refuges. We have to have faith that to follow these refuges is to be liberated. And then here, the word ki, which he is saying means to take refuge, and ki meaning quito, to resort to and submit. The way that's explained is, it's like having a parent. So as a child, we look to our parents and we submit to the wisdom of those parents. Now, we're talking about taking refuge in the Buddha, so this is very good parenting, the best kind of parenting. And then the second part, A, or ebuku, to rely on and prostrate oneself, refers to a relationship in which one feels supported by, in which one is willing to have faith in something larger than yourself. So this way of bowing down to, submitting oneself to the Dharma, submitting oneself to this thing that is larger than ourselves, and to have faith in that. So this is how Dogen talks about this particular section of the meaning of kie. And then it goes on, and Dogen has quotes this question, and the question is, why do we take refuge solely in the three? And then he answers, we take refuge in them because these three are the ultimate places of refuge, enabling living beings to escape birth and death and realize the great Bodhi. Okay, so the reason for taking refuge is, according to Dogen in this text, is to that they are the ultimate place of refuge, that they enable us to, he says, to escape birth and death and realize the great Bodhi. So first I'll say, I myself am not concerned with attaining a good rebirth. I am concerned with my life right now. If we are reborn, which I don't know if we are or not, but if we are, I think that that will take care of itself if I take care of my practice, my relationships, the way I think about my life and live my life in this moment. So as a human being, as a foolish human being, as a living human being, I don't think that I'm going to attain the status of a cosmic Buddha in this life. I do think that it is possible to continuously work on according myself with the teachings and with this ideal of the Buddha Bodhisattva way. I think that it is possible for all of us to be learning this practice and to enacting the teachings, and to use the teachings and the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, the refuges, as guidance, to guide us in our practice. And also that we may realize this through body, speech, and mind. And also that the Sangha itself is the totality of this life, which includes my responsibility to live in harmony with this life, as well as all beings, and that arises moment after moment after moment. Now, another interpretation of this part of what Dogen said is, he may be talking about, for example, what he talks about in Shoji, which means birth and death are life and death, as in your life. And he said that when we say, he says, escaping birth and death, what he means is living out each moment, in which we do not cling to birth or to our life, and we don't push away death, which is what he says in Shoji. And then when we do this, we take a huge step towards realizing what here he's saying is the great Bodhi, realizing this big Buddha mind, this Buddha nature that we are all already endowed with. So when we cling to anything, or we strive to maintain what can't be maintained, this is a problem. This is a hindrance, and it causes us suffering. So I think that that might be what he's talking about here. And then in another part of the fascicle, Dogen said, becoming a disciple of the Buddha always depends on the three refuges, regardless of which precepts one receives. I thought that was pretty interesting. So becoming a disciple of the Buddha always depends on the three refuges, regardless of the precepts one receives. we put a lot of emphasis on the precepts. So what does he mean here? I think what he's saying is that we should understand that entry into the Buddhist practice, entry having faith in Buddhist practice, becoming a disciple of the Buddha, is through accepting the refuges. That's like the first vow, if you will. So this makes sense because the precepts can be applied to anyone, can be used by anyone of any faith, but taking the refuges themselves is a vow to follow Buddhism or the Buddha way. So there is a difference there. I mean, the precepts are very much, I would say, almost every religious tradition has something very much like the precepts. So the refuges become a vow to follow Buddha's way in a particular way. We become a child of the Buddha through the refuges. We are granted a salvific reprieve from unwholesome actions, and therefore we're given a chance to remake our lives in a way, in this way of the Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha. We can, as we do in the Bodhisattva ceremony, we repent, we take these vows, and at the very end we take the precepts. So, but the refuges is this first step in transforming our karmic difficulties and being able to enact the Buddha way. So this entry into practice is taking refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha is key to opening ourselves up to this wisdom of the whole Buddhist path. So remember, initially he said it's like we give ourselves over as we would to a good parent, or we are willing to put the teachings higher than maybe our own opinions about something. So we open ourselves up to that. And this opening requires a certain kind of faith in the efficacy of this endeavor of practice. So what is faith in Buddhism? Faith in Buddhism is not blind faith. What we're being asked to do is hold off with a kind of judgment until we give the teachings a try. We have faith that we are Buddha, even though we probably find it very difficult to conceive this, to get our hearts and head and mind around this idea. We have faith in the teachings, that if we investigate and we work with the teachings, that they will transform our lives for the better, that they are transformative. And finally, we have faith in our community, in the Sangha, even though as individual Sangha members, we may not always be skillful. But we have faith that all of us are striving towards the same goals, if you will. So this faith is really important to keeping us engaged in this deep investigation of what it means to follow the Buddha's way, what it means to take refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. So as Dogen said earlier, as I quoted earlier, he said, because the Buddha is a great teacher, we take refuge in him. Because the Dharma is good medicine, we take refuge in the Dharma. Because the Sangha are our best friends, we take refuge in them. So now we have this analogy of the Buddha who becomes one with wisdom that can cure our suffering. So this is a very old image of the Buddha as someone who's like a doctor. And we can think of this Buddha, this doctor, if you will, as our own original nature. Or we can think of it as a kind of devotional practice where we are engaged in a devotion to a particular Buddha or ancestor or a bodhisattva. Or maybe someone else who we think of as a guide or a mentor for us. So we can think of Buddha being all of those various aspects, and at times we may have different relationships to seeing the Buddha this way. We have faith that we are Buddha. We say, we have faith in my Buddha nature. We have faith in each other's Buddha nature. We have faith in the Buddha nature of all being. But maybe that's a little too abstract sometimes. We have faith in our teacher. We have faith in our mentors. We have faith in our wise friends. And we have faith, hopefully we can cultivate faith in our own ability and our own wisdom, which we see more and more and more as we practice. We're able to find our own Buddha nature and to see that manifest. And then the Dharma becomes a vehicle for our understanding of how suffering arises. It's like a diagnostic tool, if you will, as well as the cure itself. So it becomes the vehicle for our understanding of how this suffering arises and the path that we can take to alleviate our suffering. And then the Sangha is our community, and which we, as Shohaku Okamura says in his book, he says, we are like nurses for each other. So we become each other's, taking care of each other. We nurse each other to health through our shared enactment of the Dharma. So that's a way to talk about this and think about what's going on with the three refuges. Even though all of this is true, if we do not think of the refuges, or we do not talk about the Dharma as a way to escape from our life, it is an antidote to ending suffering, but it is not an antidote which is to escape our life. We, as living beings, cannot get rid of old age, sickness, and death. We can't get rid of impermanence or causes and conditions. But if we have faith in the life of a Buddha, in the efficacy of our own Buddha nature, and the Buddha nature of others, if we penetrate the Dharma's meaning and enact that meaning in our relationships with self and other, then our suffering is transformed. This is what happens in the teaching. It isn't that we never suffer again, but that the way that we understand that experience is transformed. So, for example, when we accept that things are impermanent, then we are less resistant to change. We are without the expectation that things will be permanent and never change. We become more flexible. We cultivate gratitude because we know that things change, and therefore the things that are most supportive to us, that we love the dearest, we have deepest gratitude for day after day and moment after moment. We develop equanimity. And these qualities are going to change the nature of our suffering. And our suffering will become understood in a different and less distressing way. In this example, when we accept impermanence, when we accept causes and conditions. So if we go back and look at the earliest meaning of refuge in Latin, if you remember, it means to flee backwards into, from a Buddhist perspective, we would say fleeing back into our authentic selves, into your true self's functioning as and with all beings. So the true self, the authentic self, the self that is grounded in the universality of all beings, that self in and of itself, in this body and mind, in your body and mind, innately understands that this life, as ourselves, in concert with others, all beings, not just people, is universally causal, codependent, impermanent. And that will involve suffering in this Saha world. But this very suffering, this is the thing that releases our wisdom. Actually experiencing the impermanence and the difficulties of life, the problems of life, is what releases our wisdom, what releases our compassion, our empathy, what brings about skillful means. And I would say, this is the true self. The true self knows this. The true self sees this. And therefore, in seeing that, in feeling that, in understanding that, that's where the compassion, wisdom, and function in community as Sangha. And Sangha here would be not just our particular group called Ocean Gate Zen Center, but this is Sangha with all beings. And that is returning to our original nature. This is what Dogen says to give over and have trust in this process of Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Daijaku wrote in her book, which is called Trust, Realization, and the Self, and So Does Zen Practice. Here's a quote from Jaku's book. She wrote, "Taking refuge in the Buddha is often expressed as making a commitment to return to and trust the spacious, compassionate reality of ourselves and all beings. Taking refuge in the Buddha is often expressed as making a commitment to return to and trust the spacious, compassionate reality of ourselves and all beings." She goes on, "Taking refuge in the Dharma, the teachings, implies returning to the teachings for guidance." So it implies returning to the teachings for guidance. And then she says, "Taking refuge in the Sangha means engaging with the community of practitioners as a source of support and transformation." So it's not just as support as in, this is me making a comment here, not just support as in a kind of, as Daijaku likes to say, idiot compassion, which was something that she quotes from Chogyam Rinpoche. It is, there's also transformation involved. This kind of real investigation in the teaching. So again, she says, "And taking refuge in the Sangha means engaging with the community of practitioners as a source of support and transformation. These three form the basis for life of practice. These three form the basis for life of practice." So Buddhist practice becomes like the three legs of a stool. These three legs rely on each other for stability. So I would say that one leg is returning and trusting our universal life with all beings. The second leg is returning and relying on the guidance of hundreds of years of practice and teachings, the Dharma. And the third leg is ourselves together supporting and living out the Buddha way together, warts and all. And when all three legs of these practices are functioning, our seat is stable. We have a stable seat, and we can rest and take refuge in that stability. So we say, "I'm going to rely on the example, teachings, embodiment of the Buddha or Shakyamuni Buddha. I'm going to return to the teachings. And I'm going to rely upon my Dharma community for refuge." So the form of how each of these functions in our life is going to be different according to our need, according to any given time in our life. The refuge might be material, but more often it is a refuge in accepting the difficulties of our life and relying upon the wisdom of how to face those difficulties in our life. This isn't to say that we don't also have some fun, have a few parties, enjoy each other's company. Ultimately, finding refuge in this life is deeply accepting that you will suffer. You know, they say you won't get out of this life alive. There is this way that we have to, I think, come to some acceptance, or maybe a lot of acceptance, that part of life is suffering. I recently heard two expressions from the medical community that I thought were kind of interesting and really telling. One of them, the expression is called clean pain. Clean pain is acute pain. So that would be like sensation. So this is very Buddhist to me. This would be like sensation. And as soon as I heard it, I thought, yeah, sensation. So this is the sensation of, for example, if you break your leg. It's like you're gonna ouch, my goodness, this really hurts. So that's just pure sensation of pain. The other side of this clean pain is called dirty pain. And dirty pain is what in Buddhism we would call suffering. This is the emotional pain that comes from more than acute pain. It's tied up with expectations, comparison, and aversion. This is the suffering of, I don't want this. So Ujjayi Maharshi said in his definition of the three treasures, and as an anecdote to, I don't want this, he wrote, taking refuge means to return to life. That is, return to my life. That is all-inclusive. My personal life experience includes all things. So we have to accept this, be okay with this, investigate this, that it includes everything. It includes, ouch, it includes, I want this, it includes, I don't want this. So we have to return to our life as it is right now. But, you know, we can't just come up with a sense of, when we talk about this, that my life, this life is only about me. We have to come and see that the life includes everything. To include everything means to include, I don't want this, and it includes, I take refuge, all rolled up together. So it is this all in it together aspect that becomes the refuge from our suffering. Including the whole of our life, including the whole of life itself, is the key to transformation. Dainin Katagiri Rochi said, Buddha is the universe, and Dharma is the teaching of the universe, and Sangha is the group of people who make the universe and its teaching alive. Buddha is the universe, and Dharma is the teaching from the universe, and Sangha is the group of people who make the universe and its teaching alive in their lives. In our everyday life, this I'm continuing the quote, in our everyday life, we must be mindful of Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, whether we understand this or not. Then our lives will be stable. So in our everyday life, we must be mindful of Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, whether we understand it or not. And this is that universal life. So ultimately, the efficacy of taking the refuges is grounded in our own life. As blossoming bodhisattvas and Buddhas, this should not be an abstract concept for us. So I want to briefly go back to the actual verses from the Bodhisattva ceremony. I take refuge in Buddha before all being, immersing body and mind deeply in the way, awakening true mind. Immersing body and mind deeply in the way, awakening true mind. Immersing body and mind means that we have to enact these teachings in our own everyday lives through our actions. The awakened mind is the koan of practice realization. We drop our ideas and we realize we are not the center of the universe. So this awakening true mind is to trust and take refuge in the totality of all of reality as it is manifesting in our own life. The second line, I take refuge in Dharma before all being, entering deeply the merciful ocean of Buddha's way. Entering deeply refers to entering into the teachings, throwing ourselves wholeheartedly into this practice. Sometimes that can be very difficult. This merciful ocean is the boundlessness of reality, which supports us and all beings simultaneously. It is the continuous practice of this world. It is the whole of the universe as one sutra, one body-mind, as our body-mind, and the body-mind of all beings, situations, everything. There is a Buddhist saying, which is, the ocean does not reject the rivers that flow into it. And the last line, I take refuge in Sangha before all being, bringing harmony to everyone free from hindrance. Bringing harmony to everyone. This means that we are all working with the same playbook. We are all making this effort in the Buddha Dharma. We vow to incorporate and live Buddha Dharma as our North Star. As Sangha, we are unified in our dedication to enacting the Dharma. And without hindrance is the result of that unification. Shoako Komora likens this part of talking about this part of the Bodhisattva practice. He says, we're like the individual vegetables that are cooked together in a soup. So with this unity and harmony that comes about from being cooked together, it happens in the cooking of the soup, we achieve without hindrance. We are cooking our lives together. We become Sangha. We become this big soup, this very tasty soup together. And then in this way, we're free from hindrance, even in the midst of our difficulties. Thank you very much.